Perhaps a good place to get started would be to talk a little bit about, I guess, some of the projects you've worked on in the Chicagoland area. It's a lengthy list. Maybe it'd be a good way for our audience to kind of get to know you and put the name to the course.
Wow, there is a host of them. Everything from down south in Lockport to Coyote Run in Homewood Flossmoor, which provided it's a great community golf course and a great park district facility, all the way up to Wilmette at Wilmette Golf Club and Fox Run, Arrowhead, Phillips Park, working at Maple Meadows right now. Yeah, the list goes on.
So, when I think about the job of a golf course architect, I would assume that a lot of that is kind of having an understanding about the nature of the work that's been done before you. How do you, when you prepare yourself, and obviously you've been doing this for a while, but how do you kind of integrate the work that others have done, other courses, other projects, and kind of make it your own?
Yeah, I don't think there's an attempt to make it your own as much as there's an attempt to make sure you meet the project mission. And those mission that you know th those goals are established early on in a project, whether they be revitalizing a golf course because of maintenance issues or latent costs because of aging of infrastructure, or let's say bunkers are no longer in play and you need to stretch the golf course a little bit. There's a whole host of reasons. Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not influenced by what's going on in the world and in and around me. There's a lot of great architecture and a lot of great architects who are producing some interesting work. And no doubt you're being influenced, but I try to maintain a sense of mission for my client and make sure that we meet the market. Now, recently we just finished Orchard Valley, a renovation there, and one of the goals there was to attempt to be as honest and true to the original strategies of that golf course. So while making tweaks and adjustments and rearrangements of a number of the facility strategies and hazards and sand lines and those kinds of things, we did want to be true to the original Ken Cavanaugh design. So each project brings with it its own missions and goals.
So, talking about Orchard Valley, which we're, I think everybody's excited about seeing, how is it when you work with an organization or a course that's managed? So that I believe that's managed by Troon. How is that as compared to when you're, say, working directly with a park district or, different other stakeholders?
There isn't much difference. Certainly, Troon will have their input on a number of things. I mean, maintenance-wise and operations-wise, but they're very open. There's a number of management companies that have different tactics, and they have different expectations on what they want to accomplish. Many of them are very, very good about lending a hand, providing input that is valuable. And certainly, I'm learning a lot every time I talk to them because they have been around a long, long time, and they have their hands on a lot of golf courses and understand how golfers move and what motivates them. So I need to be all ears when I'm having those conversations.
I think as a fan of golf course architecture, one thing that kind of stands out to me is I always sort of think about the intersection between art and engineering. And I'm interested, is that correlation significant, as significant to you as it would be to me? And what part of it is the art component and what is the design component of? We got to make sure the drainage is proper. It's that, it's you can maintain it. Talk a little bit about that intersection.
Yeah, there is a big difference between art and architecture. Architecture has to work for people, and art can be free of that. Art is intentionally provocative. So when you're talking about design, in particular golf course design, you can be as artful as you can possibly be, but you still need to produce something that is going to make sense for people to use it as a golf course. Now, that doesn't mean that you're not trying to produce something that is interesting and beautiful, but at the same time, you have people that you need to accommodate. At the end of the day, my job is to make sure that the golfer comes back. If he doesn't come back, then it can be as beautiful as it needs to be. But if they're not coming back, I haven't succeeded. So at the end of the day, when golfers come back, that is something that you've succeeded both artistically and from a functional standpoint. The hard part is making the infrastructure disappear. So when you have drainage systems and some of the less appealing aspects of a golf course, and you can make those back of mind for the golfer. They might be right in front of them, but if they're not noticing them, it's a little bit like a magic trick. You're displaying something, and you're making sure that the golfer is entertained at the same time.
So understanding those constraints of the job, where is it that you get your fulfillment from in doing this work? Is it the working with the people to accomplish those goals, or is it more sort of from a design perspective?
That's fair. We are by nature, I think, problem solvers. So, we want to accomplish the goals. There is great satisfaction in the concepting and the planning and the development of the ideas on and the visioning of the golf course. There's also great satisfaction in seeing that executed. I think the biggest thing that I get jazzed about is when I see a completed project and you hear distant, roars and laughters and excitement, and you see, a group of seniors teeing off, and at the same time, a couple groups back, you see a bunch of, 12 and 14-year-olds playing the same golf course and enjoying and having as much fun. That's where I see how golf can be at its best. And if I'm doing my job correctly, particularly for public golf, and to a large degree the same thing for private, if golfers of all abilities and all ages are enjoying a golf course in as many different ways as possible, then I've accomplished my mission.
When you visit other courses that you haven't been involved with, and say perhaps let's talk about Riviera, where the PGA Tour is playing at, what do you look for? Like, what kind of inspires you when you see a course like Riviera, or is that already been embedded into your thought process? And it's like you can't really take much more from it.
Yeah, we're all sponges. We're taking clues from just about everything we see and incorporating it into our own particular philosophies. When you're talking about Riviera, you're talking about a golf course that is it has a heavy dose of stuff that you can it would take a long time to pack it all up and take it all home, because Riviera has great golf holes no matter which direction you go. What's interesting about Riviera is, it's not long, but it is demanding, and it's a test from top to bottom. You see, one of the subjects that I've cared a lot about over the years is this idea of length. You don't need length to make great golf holes. All you need is to make golfers think and execute shots. And if that means, proper execution, proper location, proper approach angles, a lot of this has to do with maintenance and making sure it's playing firm and fast or not. But you look at a hole like number 10 at Riviera, it's endless in the different ways you can play that golf hole, and it's still it still confounds the best of golfers. So length has nothing to do with great golf. It all has to do with providing options for a variety of different skills and abilities.
So that brings me to the idea of renovation. So you've talked already about Orchard Valley, you've talked about Maple Meadows. How is it, when do you know that a course is needs renovations? What are there particular aspects of the course that are like highlighted, or is it sort of come as a consensus to the organization and they say, we need to bring Greg in here because it's about time?
Yeah, I think it depends on the market and who you are and what you are. There's an age to everything, and there is a cost to doing nothing. I mean, you need to replace your roof every, 10, 15 years. You need to replace your washers and dryers and dishwashers and things. And th then there's the aesthetic things. You need to paint and or put down new flooring. There is, golf courses are the same thing. They need an update. Sometimes you can get away with going longer, and sometimes you need to do that a little bit more often. You look at some facilities, they make changes every 10 years or sooner, because they have the facilities, they have the resources, and they have the demand by their membership. If you're talking about public facilities and public money, they need to be a little bit more strict and frugal about how they spend their money. So it really depends on the market and the marketplace, how the infrastructure is working. I am often called in to look at a golf course and say, what is it that we need to do and how do we need to do it? What is the balance between the money spent versus the money we and the return on the investment? But every time you step into a project, there's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost for the construction, and there's going to be a cost because of the disruption, downtime, if you will. So there's a lot of factors involved. At the end of the day, what you're trying to do is build something that will last. That means a lot of things are going to be unseen, whether they be drainage or irrigation. But you want to build something that is going to have the bones that are going to that will stand the test of time.
So speaking of cost, how much does cost dictate the design that, say, the renovation that you come up with, knowing that, bunkers cost a lot of money to maintain, the greens, the undulations in there. How much does co cost of maintenance dictate your design?
Quite a bit. Maintenance costs are going up. Labor costs are skyrocketing. So it's necessary to keep those things in mind. Now, again, there are facilities where maintenance doesn't mean anything. That they will have the resources to take care of it. Now, that isn't true in particularly in public golf. So you need to keep an eye on that. You need to be careful. But that means you don't want to dumb it down to a point where it doesn't make sense when you're building it. So there's always this balance between providing something that is provocative and interesting, and something that can be maintained. There's always the question of can the existing maintenance and the existing maintenance practices accommodate this new plan, or are there things that need to be done differently? Those are conversations that happen during the design and during the execution. So the shorter answer is that should be central to every renovation. And if it isn't, it should be. Hopefully we accomplish as much as we possibly can to make sure the maintenance costs are accommodated.
So I'd like to finish up in the last few moments here with some rapid fire questions. Maybe if you could give a sentence or two about some of your greatest hits. How about the preserve at Oak Meadows?
Well, we learned. Not only did we learn a lot, but we accomplished a lot. I mean, that place is not only a great golf course, but it's authentic to its site. It's honest. It's true. There's water quality benefits, there's stormwater management benefits, there's wildlife benefits, and the golfers love it.
Take a step into the private realm. Rich Harvest Links.
Fantastic property, world-class amenities, wonderfully difficult golf course, and top-notch maintenance.
How about Settlers Hill in Geneva?
Incredibly difficult site. It's a landfill. We created something that is absolutely fun and enjoyable. It's a roller coaster ride.
One of my favorites that I think is such a beautiful property and so many wonderful vistas, Whitetail Ridge in Yorkville.
Great owners, interesting property, two different distinctive landscapes that we traversed. Fantastic tea to or green to tea relationships, and a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun.
And then finally, last question. Can you talk a little bit more about the Maple Meadows renovation? It seems like such a great opportunity because there is a, it, I thought it was a fantastic layout before. What are you excited about with that project?
We took a long time. We looked at 25 or more different routing plans that could be implemented there, and settled on a routing plan that will reflect much of what you saw before in terms of how you move through the site. There's some changes to the routing, but nothing that wouldn't seem natural and seem obvious. What is going to be interesting about that is that we're really working hard to use this idea of short grass as a hazard. So there's going to be a lot of runoff areas and bigger greens, bigger targets, but using bounce and these runoff areas as a hazard, and see what can be done with that kind of thing. And the site is going to be, I think, managed differently and entirely more enjoyable from the start to the finish.